Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Baseball family, on this week's episode, we're going to talk Trevor Story, early extension conversations, and the Kansas City Royals' Mount Rushmore right now. 9 Plus Us presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together. Baseball family, welcome to this week's episode of the Baseball Together podcast. I'm Brig, and my other exuberant co-host is Mr. Bradman. How are you, Brad?
I don't know if exuberant is the word, but I'm here. I'm doing well. Long 3-day weekend.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. We're really glad you're here. Brad has been in the backfields today at spring training sites, and so he has exhausted himself quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, it's like the first warmish, like really warm day we've had in a little while. So yeah. Just standing out in the sun. I didn't get burned or anything, but just standing out in the sun for like, it was like an hour and a half, something like that. And it tuckered me right out, Greg.
Tuckered, yeah. That's what happens that first time, yep. You know?
Yep.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah. Well, back in spring training shape.
We're glad you're here, Brad. And baseball family, we're glad you're here as well. We've got a lot to talk about, as we say every week, but things are ramping up very quickly. Pitchers and catchers have reported for spring training. Super duh. Brad was there watching it. And
It's that I saw with my own eyes.
With your own eyeballs.
Yeah, I got to meet some big leaguers, met the Mariners manager, Scott Service. It was awesome. It was a good time.
Very cool. And he is not the owner, which is news to your son. And that's so good.
It is news
so
to my son, yes. Learning the hierarchy of baseball. Of a baseball team.
All right, let's jump into current events really quick. Trevor Story has reported that he could miss the entire 2023 season. He said, best case scenario, coming off of his elbow surgery, which he had last month, best case scenario is he comes back sometime in the second half of this season, which I feel like is delayed. I should say, I feel like the operation was delayed. Am I the only one wondering why it took till last month for him to have this surgery?
Sometimes I feel like they try to avoid him. You know, like they'll avoid TJ with guys a lot. They'll be like, oh, it's just a flexor strain. You know, he's
right.
Just dealing with a little something. And then finally they're like, okay, he needs Tommy John. But my problem is like, now it's been 3 months and you're three quarters away into next season missing time now. You know, so it's like, and I understand he's a position player, so it's not as long of a recovery. And it wasn't exactly Tommy John surgery. It was what they're calling an internal bracing procedure, which is like maybe the second cousin of Tommy John surgery. I don't know.
But
still, it's an elbow thing for a guy who throws really hard from the shortstop position.
Yeah.
And if he does come back this year, maybe it will just be as a DH.
Maybe. But that's a pretty rough blow for the Red Sox, because now they're going to drop down to Hernandez as their everyday shortstop as it stands right now, which is a huge downgrade. And it's the first of his six-year deal for $140 million. So...
yeah, I can't remember the exact number, but think about that. Going from Xander Bogaerts
to
Kike Hernandez as your everyday shortstop on a year that you already really struggled mightily.
Mightily. Well, and Trevor only played 94 games last season. Mm-hmm. So things are in the rut-row camp as far as middle infielders go in Boston. So, and I don't know who their everyday first baseman is anymore, but if it's still Bobby Dalbec, then that would be, I mean, I know he's getting better, but he's not your all-star caliber first baseman.
No, he's he's definitely not.
We got some infield problems in Boston. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Bobby.
So MLB's projected opening day roster for the Red Sox has Tristan Casas.
Oh.
He's the team's number two prospect, so they'll have a rookie.
Okay, a rookie.
Yeah.
Well, if it's better than Bobby, that'll be great. So we'll see. And hopefully
never can they tell.
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully it's good for him, Tristan. That'd be great. So worst case scenario, Trevor Story misses all of 2023. That's bad news, Bears. Let's move on. Let's go to Houston, because Houston is having some really interesting goings on right now.
They really are.
As we know, Justin Verlander pulled up stakes and got out of there. And I don't want to say it was with urgency, but he sure didn't turn and wave.
Right. It didn't seem like it. Yeah.
I don't think he was looking in the rearview mirror much on his way out the door.
Yeah.
So I find that terribly interesting. And then we read a headline that's the GM says he believes that Bregman and Altuve should retire as Astros. And then we read a headline that has Bregman saying, yeah, I'm going to test the market though.
Right.
And then we read a headline where Altuve says he wants to retire an Astro. So trouble in paradise, I think, down there in Houston right now.
I think honestly what it is so Altuve wanting to retire an Astro does not surprise me. The team that gave him a shot when nobody else would, like, I'm sure he feels a certain level of loyalty to that organization.
For sure.
Right. Bregman, though, anybody would have picked up Bregman. He was coming out of LSU. He was a stud coming out of college. There are a lot of teams who I'm sure wanted Bregman, right?
For sure.
And I think initially my thought when I was like, when he said that he's going to test the market, I was like, okay, the Astros are kind of cheap.
Yeah.
Been doing things on the cheap for a while, right?
For a while. Yeah.
So what he's seeing is he's going to go out and test the market and be like, is there anybody who's going to pay me more? Carlos Correa sure got more money than what he would have gotten in Houston.
Yep.
So why not go check it out? But also the other thing to me is there's a certain level of instability in Houston.
Yeah.
Because it's been, what, 3 GMs now in 4 years?
Right. It's front office foundational stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a pretty big deal. I feel like guys want some consistency. They want some stability, because who knows if Jim Crane is the owner. If he's like, I don't love the job this new GM is doing, and in like a year fires him.
Bounced. Yeah, he's out.
You know, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because I saw that happen in Portland a couple times with the Blazers. So they would hire a GM, and like 6 months later, he was gone. And I feel like that's how the Astros feel to me right now.
Well, and that messes up culture, messaging, tone, hiring decisions. Blah, 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 everything.
The whole lot of it,
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see. And I'm thinking about who in the league is going to need a third baseman next year, and it's really interesting to think about. We're not going to get into it right now, but it's really interesting.
When it comes down to, I think most teams would upgrade with Bregman.
That's what I think, too.
They'd make a trade if they had to.
I think so. I agree. And that's too bad, because he's not my favorite guy. So
right.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know why. Actually, I do know why. Moving on. The Orioles. The Orioles CEO and chairman, John Angelos, does not want to spend because the Orioles, quote, now hold on, I'm quoting the CEO and chairman, quote, they overachieved and overperformed last year. No! Crap. This is horrible. Oh man, we're not going to invest in our up and coming team with all this momentum and all this spunk and all of this chip on their shoulder to prove to everybody that they weren't a flash in the pan. No, 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 no. They did too much. They're tired. They need to take a nap and drink their juice box and go back to sleep. Who is this guy?
Somebody who doesn't understand organizational momentum and what he has.
Oh,
this proves to me this dude does not know what he has in this team. There's a lot of talent on that Orioles team.
Here's the problem I have. Now, because of this statement and what it might do to morale, momentum, other purchasing decisions that we would otherwise not have been privy to, whatever other internal communication could have happened, this statement now will invalidate whatever success they have this season. But what will happen is if they do not succeed this season, this is what we're all going to point to.
Right.
He's we're all going to say, right? Oh, we'll never know if they were legitimately a flash in the pan or if this guy pulled his foot off the gas and made everybody angry. And that's why they're not feeling the love and underperformed in 2023. And this makes me mad because I was really excited about the Orioles in 2023. I still am, but now I'm angry about it.
Yeah, and for good reason, because we talk all the time about owners needing to want to win, right? To me, this feels like somebody like the, we talked about the Orioles last year with, like, is this a real life major league situation? It's starting to feel more and more like a real life major league situation.
That's what I was just going to say. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so sad. It's so sad. You got some of the most exciting young players coming up in Baltimore right now. And they're, oh, man.
And we will know for sure in 2 or 3 years if they trade away Adley Rutschman.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Like, that's going to be the litmus test to see, like, if they really care or not in Boston. If they are organizationally, they do not care about what's going on the field, they're going to trade Adley Rutschman for a boatload of prospects in, like, 2 or 3 years. To get out of having to pay him during arbitration.
Yeah. Yep. Holy crap. Okay, if you're a Baltimore fan, and I'm an AL East guy, if you're a Baltimore fan, I am with you. Okay, let's hope that never happens.
Both of us.
Because I know it would hurt my team, but I want Baltimore to do well so bad. I want them to come up young talent like 2015 Kansas City did, where didn't know very many of the guys' names. We really didn't have a pulse on who they were as an identity. And then they won the whole thing. Something like that would be really exciting for baseball in general. So, anyway, of course, they'd have to beat the 2023 Mariners, and Brad doesn't think that's possible, which is fine.
Nobody's going to beat the 2023 Mariners. You know, speaking of which, I'm going to diverge here just for a second. We saw a graphic the other day. I think it was from The Athletic or something like that, where they're showing everybody's World Series odds, and I was absolutely baffled that they didn't have the Mariners on that list with 100%, since they're going to be the ones who win it this year.
It was weird. They gave it to you in, well, what year was it? 26-7, something like that?
Well, so there was another projection where it had them winning in 2026, but this was like this year's like World Series odds. I was like, it's wrong. That's just wrong.
Wrong.
Incorrect. Flat out.
Preposterous.
Not factual.
This is the drum I love to bang. I'm going to bang it all season. Let's stay in the AL East for a minute. The 2018 Red Sox. Let's remember what happened in the 2018 with the Red Sox. Mookie Betts has come out saying that they did occasionally steal signs using video technology. So even Mookie Betts thinks it's been long enough that he can now break silence and whatever. So,
well, and he's literally as far away from that team as he can be.
And this shows
opposite league.
Yeah. But this shows that his heart, his mind, his loyalties, his allegiances, his friendships maybe are also as far away from Boston as they can be. That's what that says to me.
Maybe. I don't know. Has anybody asked him since then? I mean, if nobody's ever asked him, then why would he tell anything? And then I wonder if somebody was finally like, hey, did you guys steal? And he's like, yeah.
Maybe that's what it was. I don't know.
Yeah. Finally, 5 years later, somebody decided to just ask him. And he's like, yeah, we did. Maybe if they'd asked him 3 years ago, he'd be like, yes, of course we did.
Right.
How do you think we won the World Series?
Yeah. It's a little cold. His case is a little cold, but I thought it was interesting to bring it up that the superstar says, yeah, we did. So anyway. More is from the American League. The Byron Buxton has said that the Twins' 2023 goals are to, quote, win a ring. And my response to that is, yeah, super duh. Thanks for wasting our time with your TED Talk. Like, we know. Everybody says the same thing in April or in March. Like, we know.
Yeah, February, March, everybody, we're going to go out there. We're going to give it our best shot. And if we don't win a ring, it's going to be a disappointing season.
Duh.
Thank you for that, of course.
That's senior leadership right there from Byron Buxton. That's what that is. He's yeah. just checking the box to establish himself as the old guy on the team.
I wonder, though, I didn't see the full quote. I wonder if at some point in there it was like, yeah, we brought Carlos back because we want to win a ring.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who cares? That's why he came back, because he wants to win a ring with the Minnesota Twins.
Dior. Shopping at Dior in Minnesota. Or whatever it was. I'm never going to let that go, that Dior comment. That and then he funny. Shops that it out, good. And everybody turns him down, and he goes crawling back. It's so good. It's just so good. Baseball family, if you missed that saga, go back and listen to a couple of episodes in the past, and we'll explain it all. But it's quite funny. Yeah. All those videos are easily identifiable on the Baseball Together YouTube channel. Okay. Right. Yep. All right, moving on. Manny Machado, really interesting situation with Manny Machado. He was offered an extension by the San Diego Padres. It was a one-time deal, one extension offer. It was for a five-year deal where he would make an average annual value of $21 million per season. So he said no, and he'll be testing the free agent market at the end of the 2023 season. And if he has a 2023 season like he did in 2022, I predict he's going to walk away with a good chunk of change.
Yeah.
For those of you also wondering, what I was wondering is that how old is this guy? I feel like we've been talking about, Manny Machado for 20 years.
It feels that way. Yeah.
It doesn't it feel that way?
Yeah, yeah, it feels like he's been around forever. I mean, he's been around, what, like 10 years? Well, so I was thinking, what's up?
So his first season was in 2012.
Okay, yeah.
And I felt like he was
33, 34 years old.
No, he was 19 when he played 50 games in the league in 2012. So this is his age 30 season. 2023 is his age 30 season.
Yeah.
Which means if he plays for another, I don't know, he's played 11 years in the league. If he plays for another 10 years, he's going to be older than creek dirt out there, and it's going to be great. Because he's still a baller, dude.
He is. And this is the thing with Manny Machado is that he's going to age. I feel like he's going to age well in the league. He's got a great glove. Great glove. He could transition to first base so easily when those legs start to go. And I feel like his swing is going to age well because it's so effortless.
It is pure.
Like, yeah. So effortless. I think he's going to age well. Anybody getting him a 10-year contract will probably get a good 7, maybe 8 years out of him.
And 6 will be highlight reel stuff still.
Oh,
five
yeah.
Or 6 of them.
Yeah. He'll still be an all-star really for at least solid. 6 years.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. I feel bad for San Diego. I don't understand what they're doing. And now they're being applauded for their spending. Rob Manfred came out and said, congratulations, San Diego. We really appreciate what you're doing and how you're managing your money. But then he went around and said, but I don't think that what they're doing is sustainable. He said that about San Diego. And I was like, wow, that was a backhanded compliment if I ever heard one. Aren't you supposed to be on their side there, Rob? I don't understand what's going on.
I don't know. It's really interesting with Rob Manfred these days because he's talking out both sides of his mouth a lot.
Yeah. More than usual. Right.
More than usual. Yeah. Because he's saying things like, oh yeah, baseball is in a great spot right now, but we're hurting financially because the owner shouldn't be spending so much money, but look at you, San Diego. Good job. But I don't think it's going to last for that long. It's like, oh my goodness. It's like what David Sampson told us. He said that, Rob Manfred is a lawyer. He's very smart, but he is terrible with PR, and we're seeing it every single day.
Every time we turn around. So good for him, and we'll just keep watching because it's just plain old entertaining, if nothing else. If you can find a way to not get angry about it, like I have been wont to do in the past, then you can enjoy it, which I'm learning to do. Thanks, Brad, for helping me. Brian Reynolds, Pittsburgh Pirates. Brian Reynolds says he's now open to an extension. So, okay, hold on. Let me back it up for you. So he says, it was the middle of last season. He's like, trade me now.
I think it was in like November, maybe October.
Oh, maybe it was November. That's what I'm
talking about. That. Yeah.
It feels like a million years ago. He says, He says, trade me now. I've had it. And they come back and they're like, no way. I'm never going to trade you. And then they come back around and they're like, but if you wanted to go to the Yankees, we might be able to work something out. And then he...
They were in talks with Seattle a lot too.
In Seattle, like, right?
They were shopping for sure.
They're like, actually, maybe this is the right thing to do. So then they went back on what they said, and then they told him no, and everybody got told no, and he's like, and he starts kicking rocks again. And now he's like, you know what? I think I could extend here in Pittsburgh. It's like, what? What is happening?
Just don't ask for a no trade clause. That's all.
Yeah. Oh no, man. Don't do that.
Don't make it hard on him when you do want to get traded. And I understand he can waive his no trade clause at any time.
Yeah.
But don't make it hard on him to get rid of you if you want him to trade you eventually, because you don't want to be stuck there if that's not where you want to be.
It's just I
understand that he probably just wants some stability, right?
Probably.
He's an up-and-coming all-star, and he wants to be guaranteed, because a lot of times when those guys, when they get traded, then they sign an extension right away, and I'm sure that's what it was. He wanted to get sent to a team that's a little more free and easy with their money than the Pirates, because they're notoriously cheap, at least lately.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that he's like, fine, just give me an extension so I know I'm going to continue to get paid.
Yeah.
And I now that I think about it, as I'm sitting here talking and thinking about things, I wonder if the Andrew McCutchen deal has anything to do with it.
Interesting.
Is now he's got a guy who can come in and help with the clubhouse, help maybe be a little bit of a liaison with the front office.
Mm-hmm. But that's only 1 year. Why would you want to, and it's guaranteed to 2023. So the only stability he's going to have, I don't see him saying, I want to extend now suddenly because McCutchen's going to be here for the
Maybe he feels like it's going to change enough things. I don't know.
Maybe.
Because things were pretty good when McCutchen was around.
They were really good.
Things were quite
good. As good as they've been in a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, like, we pick on the Pirates a lot, but they call for it. Like, they ask for it. And we don't want to pick on the Pirates. We want Pittsburgh.
No, they get the best logo in baseball. Why do I want to pick on the Pirates?
The best logo, one of the best ballparks. It's a great sports town, especially if you're a football fan. Anyway. Yeah. Okay, let's move on. Okay. That was a big fat joke. Two things remaining, and then we're going to move on. But let's talk about Taylor Ward. Taylor Ward, he plays left field for the Angels, and we know the Angels have problems. But Taylor Ward comes out and says he wants to be the best left fielder in the league. And at first I went, okay, here we go with another stupid TED Talk, right? We're like, sure you do. Who doesn't want to be the best in their position? Blah, blah, blah. And then I got thinking about it, and I was like, wait a minute. Left field, at least right now, is ridiculously weak league-wide. It is like we are having problems everywhere with left fielders. So then I thought, okay, who are like top tier left fielders in the league right now? Cause it sure enough isn't Joey Gallo. Right. And I thought, okay, all right. So who are they? So I looked it up and they came up with a couple of lists and I narrowed them down. And here's a couple of names I came up with that I think are really, really interesting. So the first one is Stephen Kwan. Now Stephen Kwan was a rookie and he's still one of the best left fielders in the league, which I think is worth noting because that's how weak the left field roster is league-wide, first of all, that a rookie is arguably the best left fielder in the league as of last year. Here are Stephen Kwan's numbers. Out of 147 games he played last year, he scored 89 runs, 168 hits, 25 doubles, 7 triples, 6 home runs, 52 knocks, 19 stolen bases, 62 walks, and 60 strikeouts. His slash line is .298, .373, .400. That gives him a 5.5 WAR overall for his rookie
season, and finished third in the Rookie of the Year voting.
Correct. And went to the playoffs.
Right.
Right, which is not – and performed well in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So then I'm like, okay, arguably the number two best left fielder in the league right now is Randy Arozarena. Arozarena, out of 153 games last season, 72 runs, 154 hits, 41 doubles, 3 triples, 20 home runs, yikes, 89 RBIs, 32 stolen bases, 46 walks, 156 strikeouts. That's huge jump up from Stephen Kwan, from 60 strikeouts to 156. His slash line, Randy's, 263, 327, 445. He had a 2.8 war over last season alone, okay? And he's got a couple of years under his belt already. Not very many, but a couple. So I start that. I feel like that represents the range of what is possible in left field, like statisticals. But I also feel like
the top tier, what you would want from your left. I mean, ideally, that's what you'd want for your left fielder, right? Because, like you said, those are top two guys. You would love to have that from him. Now, go ahead with Taylor Ward. Keep in mind, he played right field last year, but right. I don't know that necessarily moving from right to left is going to affect him offensively this much. Sorry, go ahead. No.
So his offense, Taylor Ward's offense, 135 games, so right up in there, 73 runs, 139 hits, 22 doubles, 2 triples, 23 home runs. He leads this list. 65 RBIs, 5 stolen bases, which is way less than everybody else, 60 walks, 120 strikeouts, his slash line, 281, 360, 473. Cumulatively, he gets a 3.7 war for last season. Now, obviously, that's just offensive production, and there's defensive statistics we could look at as well and narrow this all down. But those are not bad numbers.
He was a good player last year for them.
Yeah.
He was really good. Like, this is the thing, is that the Angels had several guys who had pretty good years, right? Like, obviously, Ohtani had a good year. Trout had a good year when he was playing. Yeah. Luis Rengifo was really spotty, but he was good. Like, when he was good, he was really good. When he was pretty bad. So there was that. But Taylor Ward, I felt like was a really good player for them last year. And I think
clearly consistent.
Yeah, I think he has a good shot at even. I mean, I don't want to say he'd be an all-star, but he'd certainly could certainly be the best left fielder in the game. I think it's realistic because I had the exact same thought you did. Like,
right?
Yes, of course you want to be the best left fielder in the game. Who doesn't want to be the best third position? But for him to say that was actually realistic. It wasn't like Byron Buxton saying that the Twins want to win a ring.
Right. Come on. Yeah, and that's where I went first. I was like, come on, be quiet.
Yeah.
So here's the next layer of sort of detail here is that we're going to ban the shift. And if we ban the shift, then it's going to put a lot of pressure on a lot of really bad left fielders who've been getting backed up big time by a deep infield and somebody in that shallow left field position occasionally on a shift. So they're not going to have the backup and the support that they've been having. And I wonder if that does in fact strengthen Tyler Ward's position here in actually becoming one of the best left fielders in the league, if not the best.
Right. Because Jesse Winker was really exposed last year as a left fielder defensively that like the Mariners traded for him and all the fans were like, okay, we're getting the bat. We want an offensive, like he's an offensive guy. He's kind of, I don't know if we thought defensive liability going into the season, but it certainly showed that way at the end of the season. Where it's like, man, there is like no effort out there in left field.
Yeah.
And so you've got that. You've got Joey Gallo, right? You've got Aaron Hicks at the other end of the spectrum.
Just knock it off.
Right?
Oh.
So
when he plays left
Taylor field, Ward very well could be considered top three, if not the best left fielder, if he has another year like last year.
Yeah. So anyway, just a little bit of fun news there with some statistical breakdowns. Last thing, and then we'll take a break. Clayton Kershaw is out of the WBC. This is a big fat rut-row in a lot of ways. First, it's probably his last year playing baseball at all.
Right.
Second, the WBC doesn't come around very often. So this is probably his last chance ever to be in the WBC. He didn't play in the Olympic team, so chances of that are going away fast as well. Although he could pull a Todd Frazier and come back. I could see that, just to be on an Olympic team. I'm not saying.
That'd be pretty cool, actually. That'd be
way cool. It'd be way cool. And the dates are going to work out for that to be a possibility, even if he retires from baseball at the end of this year, I mean, especially if he does. But it just didn't work out is the justification we see.
Okay.
And
are you ready?
Go ahead, Brad. I'm ready.
So it's not, it doesn't have anything to do with injury. He's set to go. It doesn't have to do anything with the Dodgers because they told him he could, right? He had permission from the Dodgers to go.
Right.
What it was, let me find it exactly in the article here, what he said, or what they said was the issue is apparently insurance related as the 34-year-old couldn't secure coverage for his $20 million contract due to his recent injury history. That's what sources told Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic. It's an insurance issue.
What?
Which is crazy to think about that. That's like that. That's the problem of all things. Like, I wonder if that's why G-Man Choi got pulled out.
Yeah.
Who else? We saw a couple other guys get pulled out, and I wonder if it's an insurance issue.
Whoa.
That's why guys are willing to play and clubs are willing to send them because they have insurance coverage for that. It's not something I had ever thought about.
Never.
Because I know about injury insurance for college athletes, like college football players especially, will take out an insurance on themselves, you know, worth like $2 or $3 million at the beginning of the season if they're top prospect, whatever. But I had never thought about it with the World Baseball Classic, and that makes perfect sense.
It really does.
So it's, I think it just came down to he wasn't comfortable going and playing without insurance. I'm like, okay. And
I don't blame you, bro, because that would void your contract. I wouldn't either. Potentially.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's too bad, though.
Yep. It is.
I feel like there needs to be a way around that.
Yep. Insurance companies ruling the world again, but I will not step on that soapbox. Because we don't have time, Brig.
Instead, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about your Kansas City Royals Mount Rushmore. Just a minute.
Welcome back, baseball family. So like Brig talked about, we are going to be doing the Kansas City Royals Mount Rushmore today. And as always, Brig is going to start us off and teach us some history about the organization of the Kansas City Royals. Take it away, Brig.
Kansas City Royals team name brought to you by Mr. Bradman. The origins, he'll remind you of that. But it comes from cattle, right? I'll just do it. From cattle.
Royal cattle. Yep. They believe they have the best cattle around.
Yep. They've been around since 1969. They've had 54 seasons in the league. Their record puts them 4,066 wins, 4,441 losses. That's a 4.78 winning average. They've had 9 playoff appearances in that 54-year time span. They've won the pennant 4 times. 2 world championships. Winningest manager, Ned Yost, 746 to 839. That's again a 471 win-loss percentage. They have 4 jerseys retired. Jackie Robinson, obviously, being one of them. The remainder of them are the Royals. We've got George Brett, Dick Houser, and Frank White.
Excellent. So instead of reminding you once again about the team name origin, because we went there a little bit ago, I have a what if in place of. This is a piece of Royals team history that I think would have altered. I don't know if it would have changed a whole lot of baseball history or like how things shook out over the few years after. But let's take a look at the 2014 World Series Game 7 against the San Francisco Giants. Okay. So this game was played in Kansas City at Kauffman Stadium. Game 7, like I said, we are in the bottom of the 9th inning. Going into this inning, the Royals trail 3-2. Mad Bum on the mound to close things out. Got a couple quick outs. Got Eric Hosmer to strike out, swinging Billy Butler, pop fly out. But then Alex Gordon comes in and things get interesting. Hits a line drive to left field, and there is an error on the center fielder. So it should have been a single, should have just been on first, but he advanced around to third base. Now, looking back on that, and I said this at the time, I was yelling at the TV because the Giants had won 2 of the previous 3 World Series, and I wanted them to lose. I guess it was 2 of the previous 4. Anyway, I wanted them lose, right? Because I want somebody else to win the World Series. That's just the way I am. And so I was screaming at the TV, send him! Send him! And I understand you don't want to make the third out at third or home. I understand that. But you've right. got to be aggressive. And I wanted them to send him. I still maintain to this day, if they had sent him, he would have been safe. It would have required a perfect throw to the relay from the wall, a perfect throw from the relay to home. Alex Gordon would have made it. The dude was absolutely flying. So send Alex Gordon. He scores on an E8. You got yourself a tie game 3-3. Okay. Who comes up next? Salvador Perez.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Money. So he is up now with the bases empty instead of with a runner on third. His plate approach changes. He's just trying to get on base. You want to get somebody on base. He's not necessarily trying to win it, right? Mm-mm. He just wants to get on base. So he singles to left field. We'll say on a 3-1 count.
Okay. That makes
singles
sense.
To left field. He's on base. And then you've got coming up Eric Hosmer.
Oh.
Was it Eric Hosmer? No, sorry. Eric Hosmer already hit. It was Mike Moustakas.
Moose
coming up to the plate. Moose walks it off. Game over. Series over. The Royals win the 2014 World Series.
Okay.
Okay. Altering the Giants' legacy, Madison Bumgarner's legacy, because he is no longer the lights out postseason guy. He becomes the average regular season pitcher and kind of an average postseason pitcher that, like, oh, he had a great series, but he couldn't get that last out, right?
Right.
So his legacy is a little bit changed going forward. Mm-hmm. Now, the 2015 Royals, they're not hungry. They've been fed. They're not hungry anymore. So they go into the ALCS against the Baltimore Orioles. Rather than sweeping the Orioles win that series. They go on to play the Mets in the World Series.
Yeah.
The Mets being the better team, they win that World Series. So instead of the Mets being the Mets in the 2000s, the Mets now have a World Series title in 2015. And I'm going to say they go on the repeat in 2016.
Whoa! Even though you hate that.
Even though I hate that. I feel like I'm going to say they were, just because of their pitching, they got better. Syndergaard, DeGrom got better. I know I said with the Royals, they were fed and they weren't fat and hungry anymore. Or they weren't hungry anymore. But I'm going to say that the Mets, because the pitching that they had and the core that they had, they were able to keep that core together because guys weren't asking for a bunch of money, everything, blah, blah, blah. So they kept together and they repeat. And it changes, it alters a couple of years of baseball history. That's my
word. No doubt. Okay. That's a good one, Brad. That's a good one. I like that.
Thank you.
So, fun fact, story about me. I was in a hospital bed in an emergency room watching the 2015 World Series. I had a television set. I'd just come home from Afghanistan, and I had flown to Germany, and I was finally made it to Colorado. And I'm in Colorado Springs, and I'm at the hospital. Not the one on base yet, but I was at the hospital downtown. And I'm in the emergency room, and they got to take a bunch of x-rays, and I got to get an MRI and everything like that. And I'm like, does this TV work? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's the World Series. Okay. And I'm like, in agony. But I'm like, you got to do something for me. Like, this Percocet's not working. Turn on some baseball. So they did. They turned on baseball. And the guy came to wheel me. He had to put me in a wheelchair. No. Or maybe it was my bed that he rolled out. I don't remember. I had to roll me to my x-ray, and I was like, oh, no, hold on, wait. And we watched the inning turn, you know, close it out, that half, that side. And then I was like, okay, go. We got to hurry. So he rolled me to the x-ray, and we came back, and I was like, oh, we missed way too much. It's okay. So the MRI guy came in to wheel me, the tech came in to wheel me over, and I was like, no, you're going to wait. And I got to watch to retire the side. And I was like, okay, then we got to go. We got to hurry.
So Which game was it?
I don't remember.
Oh,
I think it might've been the last game. It might've been the final game.
So were your vitals hooked up and everything?
No, I wasn't quite in. Oh. I wasn't quite in that situation.
Cause I've been in the ER. I've been in the hospital during a game with my vitals hooked up, and it's fun to watch your heart rate. It's
you're like beep, beep, beep.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the nursing team responds and everything. Like, it's okay. It's okay.
It's okay. It's just baseball. It's fine. But yeah, I had the whole nursing staff sitting there waiting for whatever's going to happen on the TV to happen on the TV before they could perform their duties. It's like, that's amazing. Shut up. We're watching baseball. It's funny. All right, Brad.
Go ahead, Greg. Why don't you lead us off? Get us started with your first guy for your Mount Rushmore.
All right. Pull him up here so I get all this statisticals down because I'm very excited to bring this up. Okay, my guy, my first guy, I have four, and I have two honorable mentions. My first guy has his number retired in Kansas City under the Royals organization because he spent 21 years in the league. All 21 of them were with Kansas City. He finished third in Rookie of the Year voting. He won the MVP in 1980. He's got silver sluggers, like three of them, three batting titles. He was the Major League Player of the Year. He won an ALCS MVP, Gold Glove, 13-time All-Star. He's a Hall of Famer. His career WAR is 88.6. Career batting average, 305. He hit 317 home runs for a guy who started out as a slap hitter at the beginning of his career. I'm talking about George Brett. I think this is a no-brainer, super duh. You can't talk about the Royals if you talk about George Brett.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was hoping we'd go to him later, but I think it actually makes sense to go first because he's like the prominent center figure, right?
He's the one.
Yeah.
Like you have to justify a lot of these other guys have to just be justified. You don't have to justify George Brett.
Right, exactly right. And he led the league several times in batting average, on base percentage. Like there was one year that year he was the MVP, he was by and large the best hitter in the league.
Yeah.
Right. And the thing that's funny is that scouts always want to make a comp, right?
Yeah.
They want to compare prospects to like, oh, I think this guy. I feel like the kiss of death is when you compare somebody to George Brett because there's such a high expectation. Dustin Ackley was compared to George Brett. Yeah. And we're all like, ooh, that'd be nice. Yeah, but yeah. I don't know. And it never happened, right?
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah.
But, yeah.
Here's the thing about George Brett. Is he was part of the 85 series, the World Series, which is one of two that they have. He was there. He led the team that year. So in 85, he led the league in slugging, OPS, OPS plus, and came in, I think, number two in MVP voting, number two. That's his all-star. He was all-star that year. It's his Gold Glove year, Silver Slugger. Dude was a monster that year, and that's the year they won the whole thing. So,
yeah,
you just can't not talk about George Brett.
Well, we can't talk about George Brett without talking about the Pine Tar incident.
You have to,
right? So, for those of you who don't know, George Brett hit a game-winning home run, but then against the Yankees in New York, it was in Kansas City because it was a walk-off. Yeah, but the Yankees manager Billy Martin he saw the entire time that George Brett's pine tar was a little bit high up on the barrel, tucked it away, waiting for the right moment. The right moment was the walk-off. He challenged it. Turned out there was too much. The Royals then, this is the part that you never hear about. The Royals then challenged the ruling or petitioned or whatever with the league.
Yeah.
They came back and they had to play it again, and the Royals ended up winning the game.
They won in New York.
In New York, like, yeah, with
weeks
with
and the weeks Royals later.
The home team. Yeah. Several weeks later, they ended up doing that. But that was in 1983, and that was one of George Brett's best years. He led the league in slugging and OPS and OPS plus.
Sure did.
All-star didn't finish top 10 or anything in MVP voting or Silver Slugger, but it was another great George Brett year. And that's one of the things with a guy like him is having a 13-year peak is amazing.
How do you do that, man?
That's the thing that's hard. Is that some of these guys will be really, really good for 3, 4, 5 years, but to be that good for 13 years, that's a revelation.
It is insane. So, I mean, he is largely considered maybe even the best third baseman of all time.
Definitely.
He's in the conversation, no question, but he might, I mean, you could argue that he's the best third baseman of all time.
Yeah. I think my mom would tell you he's the best third baseman ever. Yeah. His nickname is Mullet. Yeah. He's actually my mom's favorite player.
Really?
That's why I know about George Brett is I heard about George Brett all growing up.
That's interesting.
Because she grew up a Kansas City Royals fan. Continues to actually be a Royals fan to this day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Yep.
True facts, Brig. True facts.
Excellent. Hey, Brad. I got you one.
Okay. I also have, I have four. I have one honorable mention. Okay. I am going to save that honorable mention for later. George Brett was one of my guys. But I'm going to go with this guy, if you will.
Okay.
Current player. Ooh. I think you know. I think you know who I'm going to say.
I think I do.
Because I'm very biased to the position.
Yes,
you are. I don't think that the Royals would have won the World Series in 2015 without him.
100%.
It's unfortunate that they have been so bad for 90% of his career, but it is Salvador Perez, the catcher. Nickname Salvi or El Nino. I love it. Seven-time All-Star, five-time Gold Glove, and it probably should be more than that, to be honest with you. Four-time Silver Slugger and a World Series MVP, and also just a Seattle Mariner killer. The last 3 years has just crushed the Mariners. He hit like three Grand Slams in one series last year. It was bizarre. But he was an All-Star from 2013 to 2018. He didn't play in 19 because of an elbow injury. What it probably would have been in 2020 if there was one, and then he was again in 21. He wasn't in 22. I only played 114 games, but here's the thing. The dude is 30. He'll be 33 this year, and he's a catcher. I think that they're going to start transitioning him to the DH position.
That's what I was going to say.
More last year because he's starting to get more of a DH body than a catcher's body. I
feel like. That's right.
As he ages, but that's natural aging, right? That's what we're seeing now that steroids are gone from the game, mostly. Unless he has Robbie Cano. But anyway, I feel like Salvi Perez, though, with the role that he's played on that Royals team to be the solid anchor, that he's the one guy that they've been like, we'll keep you around for as long as you want to be around, right?
And like, I think he's going to want to be around for a long time. Exactly. Yeah.
Because that's one of the things, too, that you see with the Royals. We saw it with the Angels, that there are certain organizations that just don't pay to keep guys around.
Yep.
Guys don't stay. They come for a little bit, and then they go away, either because they just flat out don't want to, or because they are not getting the money that they have earned, and they're going to go get it elsewhere. So
Salvi's on my list as well, by the way.
I think we're going to have a lot of guys.
There's two overlaps already, yeah. I agree with everything you said, and I've listed all of those reasons as for my justification. But one of the things you didn't mention that I dig is that he's only had 11 years in the season, or whatever that means. He's had 11 seasons total, and he's got a cumulative career war of 32.3 right now. And that's solid for 11 seasons. I really dig that. So I think he's on pace to have really great, positive war seasons to come. And I'll bet he never leaves Kansas City. I'll bet they like.
I think he retires. I think he retires a Royal. So one thing about Salvi, have you ever? I mean, you went to a Royals game last year. Did he play? Did you get to see him?
I don't remember if he played or not. My kid was wanting to do other things.
That's right. You were doing other things. So in 2020, we went out to the Royal Spring Training Facility before COVID. Yeah. We were down here before COVID. Right. And we went to a couple games. And he walked. We were pretty close down to the field out down the left field line. And he walked past with his bag. And he is a large man.
Yeah.
Like, he's a big dude. That's one thing I was actually telling my son Wilson today when we were going out to the fields. He asked something along the lines of like, what does it take to be a professional baseball player? Like, something you'll notice with these guys is like, they're bigger than regular humans. A lot of them larger than regular human beings. And Salvador Perez is a large man. Like, and he's, I don't mean 6'3", that like
255.
The dude is, he is built. He is a mountain of a man. So big. And I couldn't, and like, you don't have a concept of how big that is until you see it up close and personally. Like, geez, that's why I never played professional baseball.
Right.
Among many other reasons, but like, like, I'm not that big, nor would I ever have been.
Same. Which is totally okay.
Yeah. It was a revelation again. Okay.
He won't be a free agent until 2026, by the way. And again, I think that's when they're going to be like, all right, let's do this.
I wouldn't be surprised, to be completely honest with you, if it came down to it about that time, if he's starting to mull retirement maybe, or if he gets a short, like kind of a shorter deal, and they're like, we want you to retire because you've been a fixture. But we don't want to extend you long term because you're an aging catcher. And I think he's going to understand that. He seems like a guy who's got enough self-awareness that when it comes time to it, that he'll know when it's time to hang him up.
Catchers are usually that way.
A lot of them are, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because your knees start to bark at you and it's like, okay.
They get pretty loud. Yeah, I agree.
All right, we both have two down. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. When we get back, we each have two more. Plus, let's talk a little bit about honorable mentions as well.
All right, baseball family, Brad and I often overlap on these lists. And just to remind you, we do not collaborate or collude beforehand. This is all completely off the cuff, independently curated lists. And this is, once again, we have never not overlapped. So we're excited to see.
Real quick though, Brig, I mean, for those of you who don't know, we talked about this a couple years ago when we started doing these, and I was out visiting Brig, and we spent time on opposite sides of the house putting together our list so that we wouldn't collaborate at all. Like that's how hard we try not to overlap and share with these, but it always happens. Like we said, with the Royals especially, it's a very select list of guys you want to have on that Mount Rushmore. So it's going to happen. It's going to happen quite a bit. So sorry, go ahead, Brig.
No, it's great. I appreciate that. Okay, so we're going to actually jump into our honorable mentions before we give you our final two names for our picks for the Mount Rushmore. But before we do that, baseball family, if you think we've totally lost our minds, including George Brett on the Kansas City Mount Rushmore, you should let us know. And if you disagree with any of these following, we want to know as well. If there's somebody you want to add, let us know. You can do that in a number of ways. BaseballTogether.com is a great way to do that, or on all the socials. All right, so I'm going to lead off one of my honorable mentions. I don't think you can talk about the Kansas City Royals without talking about Pine Tar. That's legitimately right. It's one of my honorable mentions.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
And you already told the story, so I'm really grateful.
That's really funny that you say that Pine Tar is one of them, because one of my honorable mentions was Fountains.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it's a legit. It's so true.
Because Kauffman Stadium, it's the Royals, it's George Brett, and it's Fountains. Like,
that's right.
I don't know. Maybe I should have put the Fountains on there, because it would have been easier to include them than one of the other guys I have. But I have a hard time including an inanimate object on a Mount Rushmore. Yeah,
it's hard. It's really, but they found a way to put it on the hats, and that was really cool.
They did. It's very good. That. Looks very good. All right, who's your other honorable mention?
My other honorable mention only spent 5 years with the team. He was an all-star one of those times, and actually that season
in 1989.
He led the league in strikeouts that year, actually. But he did finish number 10 in MVP voting, whatever kind of voting. It was MVP voting. He finished number 10 in the top 10 MVP voting is amazing. So that was obviously like a killer year. Out of 135 games that year, his slash line was .256, .310, .495. And I really think that even though 5 years with the team is not long, out of a collective, 8 years in the league is all, this person is so iconic. He did so much not only for baseball, but for sports in general, and by extension for Kansas City sports, that you simply cannot talk about the Kansas City Royals without at least considering Bo Jackson.
Right. And initially I had him as he was the first guy I thought, or I guess second guy I thought of after George Brett. But then I looked at his numbers, I was like, it's such a short time, such a flash in the pan. It is crazy to think about, though, that he was drafted in June of 86 and made his debut September 2nd of 86.
Nuts.
That he was ready to go out of college. And I wonder if that's part of what had to do with it. Like, Could obviously be. Football, right? Because of injuries.
Two-sport player.
But
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that there has to be something said for adjusting your body to the physical rigors of a major league schedule. That's a lot. That is a whole lot. So,
and he did it eight times, which is not a that's not something to scoff at, especially if you're playing in the National Football League as well as a starter.
And not just playing, but dominating.
Yeah, yeah. Crushing.
Being a cheat code.
Yes. So, for sure. And you came out of Auburn. Like, Auburn? So, I don't know, man. I really do think that he doesn't belong in the Mount Rushmore, but you simply can't. You can't even think about Kansas City without thinking about Bo Jackson. It's Kansas City baseball. You just can't.
Yeah, some of the best Royals highlights ever have come from Bo Jackson running up the wall, throwing out a runner. Was it third flat footed from right or at home from left field?
Breaking the bat after a strikeout. Like, come on.
Yeah.
These are iconic moments. And maybe it's because that's when we were growing up. I don't know. But they're like, in our minds anyway, my mind, they're big deals.
Mm-hmm. Right. I agree. Yep. Yeah. But like you said, doesn't necessarily deserve to be on the mountain, but should be in the conversation as an honorable mention. That's why I have him as an honorable mention as well.
Yeah. No doubt.
All right, Brake. Go ahead. Go ahead with your.
No, okay, you go. Yeah.
I'll go. Okay, this is a guy actually I mentioned earlier. One of the guys. So, one of the things that's hard, I said, with the Royals is that guys just don't spend a lot of time there. But this guy did. This guy spent all of his 14 seasons with the Kansas City Royals to the tune of 3 All-Stars, 8 Gold Gloves, 2 Platinum Gloves, by the by, and a World Championship in 2015. Probably could have had one in 2014 if they'd sent him, Alex Gordon.
Right.
Alex Gordon is a Kansas City Royal. Absolutely. Through and through. He got the Hall of Fame, the team Hall of Famer send-off, right?
Yeah.
I think it was in 2020 when they sent him out just for the last game, just to get the ovation from the players because there were no fans in the seats in 2020.
Right, which is so sad. Yeah.
So he didn't get a proper send-off, but I think that he deserves to be on the Mount Rushmore because he spent his entire career there. Yes, only 3 All-Star appearances, but anytime a guy gets a platinum glove, let alone 2, he deserves to be top tier for that organization because he's obviously a great, great defensive player. Yeah. Alex Gordon, and he was winning Gold Gloves the last 4 years of his career as well.
Yeah.
When he was 33, 34, 35, and 36.
Yeah.
So
I love it.
Yeah, I think the biggest part of it, though, is just sticking around. And I think it's because he's from there, because he's from Lincoln, Nebraska, like from the area.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Probably has a lot to do with it. But anyway, got to put him on Mount Rushmore.
I don't.
Okay. Who do you have instead?
Yeah, I have a guy.
My next guy, honestly.
I probably do. I got a guy who did not spend his entire career in Kansas City. And that's something that I take into consideration a lot, like you said, Brad. This guy only spent 8 years of his 16-year career with the Royals. But in that time, he won a Cy Young Award twice. Finished top 10 MVP voting twice in that period of time. He was an All-Star multiple times, but twice with Kansas City. And he was part of the 1985 World Championship. He finished his career with a 58.9 WAR overall. He's got a Gold Glove, an ERA title. He was the World Series MVP in 1985 when he was 21 years old. Seriously, 21 years old, you take your team to the World Series, you win the World Series, you win the Cy Young Award that year. Your name is Brett Saberhagen.
Oh, solid. That's a good pick.
I'm like, it's unbelievable resume. His career ERA was 3.34. He leads the team in tons of pitching statistics. Like wins, which I know we scoff at, but he still leads the franchise. He's the franchise leader in wins. So anyway, Brett Saberhagen. This, I'll tell you what was hard for me in doing this was that you've got these two generations. You've got the generation of George Brett, Brett Saberhagen. Mm-hmm. And you got the Salvi, Zach Greinke, you know, those guys. It's like, what do you do? Because I feel like there's probably two different factions of Kansas City fans. And they would probably argue in different ways. So I had to find a way to blend them. But I just couldn't turn away from Brett Saberhagen.
Yeah, that's a good one. And I didn't even think about it, and I didn't bother looking, because to me, Brett Saberhagen is a Red Sox. Always has been, but that's just me. Anyway.
But that's because he played for Boston in the 90s.
Right. Yeah, the late 90s. Yep.
Yeah.
That's exactly why. That's where he's most prominent in my mind, is with the Red Sox.
Right.
Okay. Can I go with my last guy real quick?
Yeah, and then I'll go. Go ahead.
Okay. So this guy spent 15 of his 19 years with the Royals.
Okay.
Okay. Two-time All-Star. But led the league in several categories, even in years that he wasn't an All-Star. He is an outfielder.
Okay.
Two-time Silver Slugger. Batting title, Gold Glove. A nickname that my son got from a teacher over the last couple of years. Willie Wilson.
Willie Wilson!
Good. That teacher has become a good friend of mine, and when she asked about it, she says, how's Willie Wilson doing? But
That's awesome.
But Willie Wilson, part of the 1985 World Series team, led the league in triples that year. In 1980, he led the league in runs, hits, triples, and then he led the league with 83 stolen bases in 79. That's my kind of guy right there. That's exciting.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But mostly, again, like I said, the longevity, being with the Royals for 15 years, he is a significant part of that history, especially that 80s right. Royals team, because he played with the Royals from 76 through 90.
Yeah.
So
no, that's,
he was part of some of those Royals teams.
Some of those were lean years.
Right.
And some of those were really intensely successful years.
Yep. Yeah. He saw the best of the best. And I'm imagining the worst of the worst, the Royals during those years, but he stuck it out. I feel like a guy like that has got to be a part of a Mount Rushmore, especially with limited success, limited guys sticking around in an organization. Mm-hmm. You've got to put him on there. You've got to put him on Mount Rushmore.
Love it.
So, all right, go to your last one, Brig.
All right. My last one. He was with the Royals for 10 years in his career from 2010 to 2019. Of the 16 years he was in the league. So 10 of those from 10 to 19. Okay. That, which gives him two pennants and a World Series bid and victory. He was in charge of a streak of wins that leads all of Kansas City's franchise. This is the winningest manager in the history of the franchise in Ned Yost.
Solid.
I don't think you can get away with taking a guy who was there for the buildup to all of the buildup to 2015. He was there for 14 and 15. They won in 15, barely lost in 14, won it in 15. And then, finished his career there. So I just think he's a fixture. I mean, his 2014 win-loss percentage was .733. His 2015 win-loss percentage was .688. I mean, come on.
Yeah. It's funny, though, looking at Ned Yost after the Royals won the World Series, they finished at 500, 81 and 81, then 80 and 82. Then they fell right off a cliff in 2018, lost 100 games in 18 and 19. And Ned Yost was around until after the 2019 season, where I guess I'm assuming they decided they'd had enough of him. It's funny, though, like looking at the 80s. I just want to say this. I just want to look at this because of the manager. Dick Houser was the manager from 82, got fired at 40 and 48 in the 86 season.
Yep.
Short leash. And I don't know what happened. They fell off a cliff that year. Man, that's crazy to look at that and be like, man, they won the World Series after won 91 games in 85. Yeah. And then they go down and they fire their manager 8 games under 500 into the season.
Yeah. And they in 15, they won 95 games.
Yeah.
crazy.
It is crazy. But no, I think Ned Yost is a solid pick. He is the guy I think of when I think of managing somebody managing the Royals.
Yeah, me too.
Is Ned Yost. And I think a lot of that has to do with my age. But
yeah, same.
Anyway, so very cool.
There you
very
go.
Very cool. Baseball family, let us know, like Briggs said, what you think about what the guys we put on the Mount Rushmore. Does Bo Jackson belong on Mount Rushmore for the Kansas City Royals? Let us know. Hop in the mailbag. There's a link in the description of every single episode that will get you to the page. All you gotta do is fill it out, submit, and it will come straight to us, and we will respond on the show. Also, don't forget to hit up ChinookCedary.com. You can go over there and get yourself some seeds. Use code BTPOD for 10% off your order. It helps out the show because we have an affiliate partnership with them. And also helps you out because you're getting fantastic seeds, getting ready for the season to start.
They are the best seeds ever. They're the best seeds ever. I use them for road trips, and I just love them. Don't forget, baseball family, you can also jump on Patreon and search Baseball Together. That's a great way to support the show. We have tiers of support at $1, $5, $10, and $15. They all come with their own perks, but the biggest perk is the bullpen cut. It's unedited. You get to see all the behind-the-scenes stuff, all the bad jokes, and the everything else that happens. It's just wild.
We actually ran through a what-if between segments today.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're really fun. Getting into the what-ifs. We'll let you know how we – I mean, you'll know. They're going to
come in. Yep. And also be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and review. Subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss anything. We do chop everything up into bite-sized clips for you because we know not everybody has time to sit down and listen to a 45-minute to an hour show every week. So you can just get the individual segments on YouTube if that's what you prefer to consume the show. But baseball family, thank you again so much for joining us. We will catch you next week.